The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Okay, so I'd like to talk a little bit about this idea of brightness. As I said at the beginning of the guided meditation, sometimes this path is talked about as a path of Vasuti, which traditionally gets translated as purification, but it could also be brightness or splendor or excellence. And for me, that has like such a different feeling, like splendor. This is not in my vocabulary so much, but just this idea of brightness and splendor. It does feel for me a little upright or uplift and spacious and bright in some kind of way. So there's a number of ways we can interpret this, and I'll say that when the mind is bright, there's a sense of clarity. Like we kind of like know what's happening. We're able to notice with a certain amount of distinction between this is happening, as opposed to just kind of being muddy and foggy. And maybe there's also this idea of there is no longer like the filters that we unknowingly bring with us. Of course, we have the filters of expectations. We have the filters of our biases that show up with, all of our experiences. But maybe when there's brightness, there's a way that maybe we even notice that we have these biases and expectations, and there's some clarity. Or there's some, it feels to me like some sharpness or something like this. But not only that, not only this clarity, brightness has this sense of aliveness. And maybe with this aliveness is this sense of curiosity or like engagement with what's happening. When there's this brightness, it doesn't feel like there's anything that's a barrier between or that we're hiding behind. Instead, there's an openness and presence of just being with what's being known, what's being experienced. And in this way, we might say that brightness includes a sense of maybe some creativity. Like, there's like this spaciousness to think new thoughts, to have new experiences, maybe even some new emotions that we haven't felt for a long time. And maybe they've been waiting to be expressed or felt, and maybe they bubble up. But when there's a sense of brightness, it's not so much that we get overwhelmed with them. So it's not that we are experiencing exclusively those emotions that we want to feel. We might be feeling a whole range, including some that we actually would prefer not to feel. But with brightness, there's a sense, oh yeah, okay, grief is here, and it feels like this. Ill will is here, and it feels like this. So clarity, some brightness brings clarity. It doesn't mean that everything is pleasant necessarily. It's just being known with some clarity, some sharpness. So in this way, maybe there's a sense of openness or possibility or something like this, or not getting overwhelmed, but instead having a sense of it feels like unburdened, maybe. So it kind of feels like, oh, somebody took the cover off of the lantern, and now the lantern can just shine. And not even knowing that there was a cover on the lantern before, perhaps something like this. So maybe in contrast, I'll talk about this, that dullness is like not quite being present. And there's this way of kind of like, when a knife is dull versus when a knife is sharp. It can cut cleanly when it's sharp, but when it's dull, there's a we're having to saw, and it's kind of rough, and it's, not quite as clean as something like this. Sometimes that we talk about the sword of wisdom, cutting through delusion. and that's sharp and it's not dull. So brightness has this kind of sense as opposed to this dullness. And so we might find dullness in our lives and in our experience, maybe because we're just living life on autopilot, following our habits and our patterns. And there's a way in which there can be kind of like this dullness sinks in when we're just going through the motions and doing what we've always done. Or maybe there's a way in which there's this overstimulation. And so there's a way in which the senses have kind of like dampened. They're not quite as sensitive anymore because they are just feeling overwhelmed. This can be obvious with like too much noise, but also maybe the mind, that sense, if there's too much doom scrolling or too much, you know, just consuming media just hours after hour after hour, right? They make it easy to do this. And not too long ago, I found myself like watching a screen for way too long. And then I just felt this kind of just this not easeful and headache. And it was just kind of this awful feeling. And yet they just, I'm saying they, the people who designed the apps and the streaming services and stuff, they want to make it as easy as possible for you to stay on there for as long as possible, right? So I found myself doing that not too long ago, and I remember feeling like, ugh, just this, ugh. Maybe like if a person had eaten 23 donuts or something. So there's one way in which dullness can come from this overstimulation and from this way of just following our habits, but also it can come from the sense that, okay, I want to avoid this emotion or this part of my life. I'm just trying to avoid it because it makes me uncomfortable or I fear it or whatever it might be. And then as soon as we are trying to avoid a certain part of our life, then we kind of have to dampen everything. We all have this experience, because then we're going to have to try to control. No, 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 don't think those thoughts. Only think these thoughts. Don't feel those emotions. Only feel these emotions. And when we're trying to control things, then everything just gets small and heavy, as opposed to kind of some freedom and ease that we can feel. So we could say that brightening is just noticing. Just noticing with some, I used this word earlier, some curiosity or some openness or some spaciousness. And there's a way that it can just allow the mind to do what the mind does. That is to recognize things and to notice, including notice when they're not noticing. Noticing when the mindfulness has left and we're just completely lost in thought. So a certain amount of brightness can feel into like, oh yeah, this brightness is no longer here. I'm lost in thought. And I'm using words to describe that, but it's more of a felt sense that goes, like we all have this, right? When we're more awake than when we're a little bit drowsy. How there's this feeling of heaviness and darkness and closed in when there's the drowsiness, whereas awake has this more openness and bright eyes and light. So we could say that brightening is bringing some aliveness, some curiosity, some noticing to this moment. It could be that simple. Just this moment, after this moment, after this moment, just but bringing some attention, some connection to this moment. And there's this writer, Rob Walker, and he has a book, it's called The Art of Noticing. And in it, there's a number of different exercises, which I've been playing around with, and I find they're so much fun. I think it's so much fun. Like when going out for a walk, he said, just notice small flowers. Like, oh, you know, just this is like there's something to pay attention to. Or notice shadows. when they're, or notice reflections on windows, or notice outliers, something that's standing away from what it seems like its companions would be, or, you know, so it's just kind of fun to just one out or driving, walking, whatever, just to be noticing. And it does bring a little uplift to kind of like engage in one's environment in this kind of way. And we could say that this is what mindfulness is about too, right? It's just being present for our life, for our experience. And then there's this way, happens automatically, that as clarity grows, there's a way in which the hearts soften, like open. The guardedness, the armoring starts to drop away or become more porous or permeable in some kind of way. There's this way in which, you know, we start to understand our environment, we start to understand ourselves, we start to understand others. That comes also with this softening of the heart, which comes with this greater clarity, which is part of this brightness. So then when this de-armoring, if you will, happens, this love and compassion just start to arise. We don't have to make it happen. It might be very subtle, but it just starts to arise more naturally. The little delight in seeing the small flowers, the shadows, the reflections in the windows, the outliers, you know, noticing I'm giving these types of examples. And then there's this way in which we see that, oh, kind of like closing down and not connecting isn't the answer. It's like stops making sense when we really are tuned into what does it feel like to have this brightness compared to the dullness. And then choosing the dullness, I would say that ill will and aversion towards others is a sense of dullness, a sense of not really experiencing what's happening, but more having a sense of because I don't want to say that everybody's perfect and beautiful and nobody's ever harmed anybody ever. I don't want to say that because that's not true. There's a lot of harm that's happening in the world. There's a lot of craziness. There's a lot of awfulness that's happening in the world. But in our one-to-one interactions with people, there's a way in which we start to see that just to allow some brightness, some openness, some curiosity just starts to make the most sense. It doesn't make sense to be kind of closed down and dull, dull being closed down and not connected. Unless, now why I'm saying this, of course all the exceptions come into my mind, but sometimes we need to set clear boundaries, and sometimes if there's harm that's been happening, we're not going to have this brightness. But just in a way with people that we don't know, standing in line at the grocery store, I find myself doing this often enough, and instead of having aversion to the person in front who's taking so long to do whatever it is, can we just still have some openness? I am not suggesting that we tolerate all the bad actions that people have done. I am not suggesting that we pretend like we haven't been harmed and that our boundaries haven't been crossed inappropriately. I'm not saying that. But just this recognizing that in most situations in which there is sense of safety, enough safety, it just stops making sense to be kind of shut down and armored. So I'd like to end with reading a poem. This poem is by Rosemary Traumer. What a surprise. And she wrote this in March 2020, the very beginning of the pandemic. And she kind of references the pandemic in here, but I feel like there's stuff in here that's really relevant for us even today. And so this poem is called A Change in the Light. A Change in the Light by Rosemary Traumer. Now, while the moon is hiding behind the clouds, now, when the rain is falling midwinter, and now that they've told us not to hug or kiss each other for fear of contracting and spreading disease, yes, now is the time to find whatever light we have been hiding inside us, whatever measure of brilliance we've managed to conceal from each other, from ourselves, now is the time to bring forth that luminescence and offer it freely to the world, now when light matters most. Now is the time to bring forth that luminescence and offer it freely to the world, now when light matters most. I love this idea of offering, kind of like just offering luminescence to the world. It's so easy to fall into darkness. And here's an invitation to offer in a way that makes sense to us, in a way that's available to us, in a way that's appropriate for us. Can we offer luminescence to the world? So I would like to suggest that we get into small groups again, or you guys get into small groups again, and talk about this. What does this mean to offer luminescence to the world, or luminosity? What is the word that she uses? Luminescence. Such a great word, luminescence. But what does it mean? Do you have any sense? Like, what could it practically mean? Or what does it mean maybe just somatically? Does it mean just smiling? Maybe smiling is a way to offer luminescence or luminosity or brightness or brilliance or whatever word you want to use. Maybe it's just having eye contact with the barista or the grocery clerk, or, you know, just like acknowledging their existence, the person who's using the, just the word slips my mind, they're really loud and they blow leaves, leaf blower. The person who has the leaf blower, right? Just having eye contact and acknowledging them. Maybe that's what it is for you, but I'm just offering some ideas, a place for you to start. And let's do the same process where we're just kind of making a soup or a mosaic. So everybody offers one thing and then it goes to the next person and then it goes to the next person. And you go around a few times. And we'll come back at 7:50. 3:22. Okay, I'll see you guys in a little bit.